Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you. You're clapping and I've not even done anything yet. Good to see you all. Great to be here today. I guess somebody didn't need this. This is too tall. You guys doing all right? Yeah. Wake up. We're going to have church. Guys, where'd he go? Greg, that was awesome. Thank you for leading us. And Jordan, is she going to sing that other song? All right, cool. When is that? I just want to know what's going on. I like to know what's going on. I got these control issues. It's cool. My wife and I, you got to say hi to Vicky. This is my wife. Next month, is it 33 years? 33 years we've been married. And I'll just tell you up front, just in case you don't know, I think everybody knows, but I'm a dope smoking, alcohol drinking, woman chasing nitwit without Jesus. And she put up with it for a long time. The 4th of July, I got this little chip that says I've been clean for 17 years. Yeah, that's Jesus, man, and it all comes together. There's just one word that it penetrates my heart daily, and it's love. It's love, and I want to talk a little bit about this morning. This series we've been doing, Better Together, is incredible. There's great things happening. Greg talked about this revival in Burlington and Yakinsville. Where is it? I've never heard of the place, but Jesus knows where it's at. And he's doing some crazy stuff up there. Guess what? He's doing some crazy stuff here in Brunswick County too. We've come together, the four pastors, and I don't even remember how we came together, but we came together, and initially we came together just to hang out as lead pastors and to come talk about you guys and tell each other how much you get on our nerves and maybe sometimes. And it's developed into this relationship that, man, we just love each other. And a really cool thing is we're so diverse. You know, I mean, I ride a Harley. I'm an ex-Marine. And I got my history, my background. And then there's Heath. And to me, Heath, you open up the dictionary, you look at All American Kid, there's Heath. You know, and I love Heath. And then you got Chris. And Chris is just so predictable in a cool way. You know, and then Lucas, of course, Lucas cut all his hair off, but he's the surfer dude, and it's like we are so far and so different apart, and we got one thing in common, Jesus. And we've started bringing that together a couple of years ago, just hanging out, and we decided our relationship was budding so well and meshing so well, we wanted to do something to bring our churches together, to literally tear the walls down in our church. And some of you may remember we had a leadership conference. Anybody go to that? You're still leading? All right, cool. So we did that, and then we decided, well, what do we do after that? We decided, well, we need to have a sermon series that we can bring everybody together. And we did that last year with the Beatitudes, and we did the rotation of church. And the greatest thing about this rotation of churches is I've only got to have one message all month. Then after that was, let's do it again. Let's do it again. And our heart is to bring you guys together. And it's like, how do we do that? Because all along we've been thinking, how can we literally, physically bring the four churches together? And that's going to happen next week. And guys, I am so jacked up about that. It is so cool. We actually had the opportunity to be on the radio this past Wednesday. Anybody here? Anybody care? All right, Greg, thank you. Somebody heard. All right. So anyhow, we were, and there were some other churches that heard. And when Scott got back to the church, Crosswinds, he got a phone call from another church. And they're called St. Mary's Missionary Baptist Church. And they wanted to know if it would be okay if they closed their church down Sunday the 31st and come join us. The doors are opening. You know what? And here's what's really most amazing to me about this. From my understanding, that is a predominantly African-American church. And I'm so jacked up about that. That is so cool. And they got three or four other churches that they affiliate with that they're talking about bringing too. Listen, here's my prayer. There's 1,500 seats in the Williamson Odell Williamson Auditorium. Can we fill them up?
Yes.
That's what those cards are about. That's what the cards are about. We're going to have a good time. Listen, I'm speaking this morning on this Better Together series about reaching out. I love to reach out. I've given these cards out. I reach out every way I can. I love to reach out to people. And my heart is really reaching out to the down and out and the broken. Those that are living in a hopeless situation. I did for years. I thought, this is it. This is all there is. I'm just going to be an alcoholic and a drug addict, and I'm just going to be a nitwit rest of my life. There's no way out. I couldn't get fixed. I couldn't get right. I couldn't get right. And then somebody reached out to me. His name was Jesus. And everything changed. But this morning, I just want to talk about how important it is that we reach out together. So Heath is talking about belonging together, and I think one of them was talking about, I don't know, they were talking about other stuff together. Whatever it was, I can't remember right now. But we're going to reach out this morning together. And why is it so important that we reach out? I mean, if our whole goal in life is to be reconciled with our Father in heaven, and that moment when we said yes to Jesus, pay for my sins, why are we still here? What's the deal? Why are we not, just take us home, Lord? Because he's not done with you. And he's called all of us. He's commanded all of us to go and make disciples. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about reaching out. And the greatest example of anything, anytime I'm looking for an example of what is the greatest way to do this, I always look to one person. What did Jesus do? Remember the little bracelets, WWJD? What did Jesus do? And Jesus Christ shows us the most amazing example of how we are to reach out to one another in the book of Mark. And you've got a little fly, a little notepad, their little handout right there. And we're going to actually be in Mark chapter 6. And I'm going to be bouncing around quite a bit. But the primary scripture is going to be right around verse 35 through 44. But why do we need to reach out? What is this? And we talk about this love thing. What's going on there? Over in 1 John chapter 3, I think it is, verse 18, it tells us this. But actually, before I read any scripture, I always like to pray. Would y'all join me in prayer? Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Father, thank you for the simple fact that we can come boldly to the throne of mercy and grace this morning. Father, here we are. We have come collectively as the body of Christ to experience you, to know you, to grow in you. Father, give us an understanding of your word this morning that would actually penetrate our hearts and change the way we think. Father, may we just be more than hearers of the word, but doers. May we understand and comprehend exactly what it is you're telling us to do. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. So over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, is the absolute definition of why we should reach out. And here it is. It's very simple. It says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but also with actions and truth." So we are to reach out. And if we're going to talk about love, you know, anybody use the 1 Corinthians, what is it, 13, where love is kind, love is patient, love, and anybody got married pretty much use that in there. That's, you know, you do that. That's, but love is kind. And this morning I want to talk about this example that Jesus Christ has shown us on how we are to reach out with one another. And we're going to do that by, I'm going to bounce around here in the scripture a little bit and just get us focused. Jesus is in his ministry. Jesus has got his disciples. He's doing what he's called to do, what he's going to do, and he's out sharing the gospel with everybody. And it says here in chapter 6, verse 6, the second half of it says, "Then Jesus went out teaching from village to village, calling the 12. He sent them two by two, and he gave them the authority over evil spirits." Jesus called the 12 together. The 12 what? The disciples, right? Okay, what are we? If we are followers of Christ, what does that make us? Disciples, right? So he's called us, and he sent these guys out two by two to do work. And then down in verse 30 is where he's gathered them back. They've gone. They've done their work. They're coming back to report to Jesus. And this is what he says. This is what the Bible says. "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then because so many people were coming and going, that they did not even have a chance to eat. Greg, sounds like that revival. So many people are coming and going because the word of God is going out. Is it so they didn't even have a chance to eat. So he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and we'll get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot all the way, I can read, I promise you. But many of them who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and he saw a large crowd, he says, people, why are you chasing me? Back off. We haven't even had a chance to eat. Give me a break. I'm tired. I work 50 hours a week at AutoZone as a commercial sales manager. Give me a break. Is that kind of what Jesus said? What did he say here? And Jesus, when they landed, Jesus saw a large crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Key word, compassion. I just want you, if you're taking notes, make a little side note here. Every single time you see Jesus Christ speak of compassion in the Word of God, compassion equals action. He did something with it. Compassion equals action. Every time Jesus Christ showed compassion, there was action behind it. So they began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. And this is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus answered, you give them something to eat. Jesus, have you bumped your head? We're in the middle of nowhere. We don't have any food. How are we to give them something to eat? You give them something to eat. And then they said to him, that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are you crazy? No, that's not in there. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? And Jesus says, well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. And then he gave them to his disciples. And then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up the 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. What do you think he did with that? Think they just threw it away? Well, it's just a thought. I don't know. That's random stuff. ADHD too. The number of men who had eaten were about 5,000. When you look around this place, what do you see with the men? Women. So we could probably add those numbers to it. And we got kids involved too. So literally, I mean, I don't know how many we could add to it, but ultimately he fed 5,000 people out of a couple loaves of bread and a couple of fish. There's several points I want to just feed you, if you will, out of this portion of Scripture. And how is it that we're going to reach out to one another? And the first one is we need to recognize the need. We need to recognize the need. Jesus says, so send the people away so they can get the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. You need to recognize the need. And the thing that I want you to understand here is people are hungry. People are hungry, and not necessarily physically hungry, although that does take place, but people are hungry. Why do you think this revival that Greg is talking about is going so ballistic? People are hungry. People are hungry in this world, and they're looking to be fed. And unfortunately, the world is feeding them. When we started this series 3-4 weeks ago, the Saturday before that first Sunday, I sat with a family in my church that had a visitor come knock on the door 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon, and it was the Leland Police Department. And they gave this family a card and said, you need to call this Wilmington detective about your son. He's 22 years old. And they called, and they told him that their son was dead and had overdosed. And that's the way I spent my Saturday. I went to that house, and I hung out with them, and we tried to figure out what was going on. Mom and Dad were going. And the crazy thing about this is that young man moved down from New York about 7 or 8 weeks prior to that to get his life right. He was hungry, and he was looking for something to fulfill the needs in his life. And that he was doing good. He was coming to meeting. He was doing good. But that Friday evening, he decided to go to the world to get fed. Guys, can I tell you, we need to recognize the need. The world is hungry, and people are looking to be fed. And unfortunately, when they go to the world to get fed, they're not getting fed the proper answer. The world is hungry. There's physical needs. There's emotional needs. There's spiritual needs. And it's you and I, our responsibility to recognize the need. We need to recognize the need. Verse 37 is very simple. It says, you give them something to eat. In verse 38, what we need to do next, once we recognize that need, is take inventory. We need to take an inventory. We need to pull together our resources and see what we've got. It says in verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Go and see. Take inventory. The interesting thing about that inventory is we pull it together. They had a couple of fish and some loaves of bread. And there's 5,000 men there. Jesus, this ain't going to work. We ain't got enough. Exactly. Exactly. We bring our inventory together. You take what you've got, you bring it together, and then what do they do with it? They gave it to the Lord. And that's enough. You and I, when we bring it together, we got to surrender to Jesus. Listen, my background, I remember when I knew God was calling me to plant this church in Leland, North Carolina. I didn't even know Leland, North Carolina existed. Only thing I knew about this area is when, in the early 80s, when I was in the Marine Corps, I had to swoop down from Jacksonville to get to Myrtle Beach to look for my trouble. And I did find her, by the way. But that's all I knew about Leland. And God called me down here. I remember specifically, with this book in my hand, at 3 a.m. in the morning, a Sunday morning, Labor Day weekend, God said, go to Leland, North Carolina. And I had a road atlas too. And he said, go, plant a church there. And I remember specifically, it's like the cartoon, the devil jumped on my shoulder and the angels over here, remember that? And he said, you're a dope smoking, alcohol drinking women chasing nitwit. What makes you think you can plant a church? What makes you think that you could pastor a church? And the Lord says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 10. He says, you put these things together and you will not fail. You will not fail. Guys, you got to take your inventory. You got to pull your inventory together, and then you got to surrender it to Jesus. You want to get through it? You want to accomplish it? Surrender it to the Lord. Jesus will give you what you need. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says very plainly, my grace is enough for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. My power is made perfect in your weakness. It ain't about what you got. It's not about your inventory. His power is made perfect in your weakness. You get that? How does that work? How does his power work in my weakness? Guys, I've shared with you a couple times now about my history, about my background. One of the most amazing verses in all the Bible to me, and you could use it all the time, is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. For all things work together for good, for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Now, let's see. I got 17 years clean. Let's ask Vicky about 18, 19 years ago. Hey, baby, how's that scripture working for you? You know, where all things work together for the good of the Lord who called to their prayer. How's that working for you? It's kind of a struggle, isn't it? But today, all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Because today, I can use what I've gone through and those bad choices that I made to help people along today. A brand new Friday night, we have a Celebrate Recovery at our church. Brand new guy came in this past week. He's never been to a meeting. He's never dealt with his addictions. And he came, and he didn't know what to expect, and he didn't know how to relate to it. And he just, and you know what we did? I pointed him out and laughed at him in the crowd because, look, you're a drug addict. No, I just loved on him right where he's at. I loved on him right where he's at. And here's the interesting thing. Because you could come to that meeting or you whatever it is you're doing and dealing with in life, I can tell you, listen, and it's not a bad idea. Pray more and read the Bible more. That's all you need. Just pray more and read the Bible more. Now, that's not bad advice. That's not bad advice at all. But because of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and called according to His purpose. I got three words that I use often. And those three words are this: feel, felt, found. What do I mean by that? When that guy came in Friday night and he sat down, I can go like this: brother, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I felt the same way. Here's what I found. You got to take the inventory and you got to surrender it to Jesus. Take that inventory and surrender it to Jesus. Folks, can I ask you, who are the hungry and the needy in your life? Who are the hungry and the needy in your life? And the next thing we need to do is get organized. Jesus shows us right here in verse 39. It says, then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. You need to get organized. You know what I love about what we're doing better together? The organization. Listen, let me tell you something. I am the absolute worst at organization. Ask my wife. I just fly by the seat of my britches, man. I just go. But I'm wise enough to know that I am completely and chaotically unorganized. So I've got lots of women in my life. Right, she's number one. That's the checklist lady. You know what I mean? She takes care of me. It's good. But we need to get organized. And what we're doing with this Better Together series is amazing, how we're getting organized. And I love the fact Greg talked about there were multiple churches doing this revival thing. Guys, you want this world and this country to be changed? It's not going to change by whoever gets into office. It's going to change by you and I being organized and loving on one another. It's that simple. It's that simple. And we need to be organized. You can see how Jesus got everybody organized. You remember watching, like, when Haiti had the earthquakes there and the tsunami and the floods and all those things that go on in this chaotic world, and you watch, like, these life support planes land with all this food and stuff like that, and you see this chaotic battle for food and people are just grabbing, and man, we need to be organized. And I love the fact that we have gotten ourselves organized with this Better Together series. Guys, these little cards are going to impact so many lives. I'm seeing ridiculously crazy things are going to happen in the name of Jesus Christ next week. It's going to be totally off the hook. I'm so pumped up and so excited about being able to reach out to our community. And it's about getting organized. It's about getting organized. You got to recognize the need. You got to take your inventory. And then you got to get organized. And then you got to measure the need. You got to be organized, but you got to measure the need. In verse 39, it says, then he directed them to have all the people sit down in groups and on the green grass. You got to organize and you got to measure the need. One of the things that we talked about as pastors and lead pastors of our churches, one of the things that's very, probably won't say it out loud, but one of the most, it has to be, not kind of, sort of, not that we want it to be, but the money that comes in every Sunday, it's important to the church, okay? There's bills to be paid. I mean, we've got rent, we've got space, we've got, it's important. I mean, guys, the pastors think about it, okay? It's important to us. So we were having our little meeting and we're hanging out and we're talking and it's like, okay, so what are we going to do with the offering that Sunday? Because your church is bigger than my church and they're giving more than, and how are we going to divide that up? And then we came up with the idea, well, why don't we organize this and measure the need and find somewhere that we can invest it into our community? And that's when we came up with the idea of investing this money into the community. And we didn't want to necessarily invest it into a faith-based organization. We wanted to invest it into our community. So we decided the best thing for us to do was we're going to reach out to the Brunswick County Sheriff's Department and see what their needs are. And we asked them, what's your need? Where can we invest? And they put together a list because they wanted it specifically designated and we want it specifically designated as well. And the really cool thing is we found that the probably the greatest need and the biggest impact that we can have is to invest it into Brunswick County Sheriff's Department school resource officers. So every penny that comes in that day, that's where it's going. But we've measured the need, and we got to figure out where we're going to invest it. Probably the most important thing we need to do if we're going to reach out to others is to prepare your heart. We need to prepare our hearts. There's nothing more important than preparing our hearts. In verse 40, it says, so when they sat down on the ground in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke the loaves. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says this, God will give you much so that you can give away much. And when you take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help. The biggest factor here, folks, is having the right heart. The biggest factor is having the right heart. We can, you know what, you can you can serve without loving. But you cannot love without serving. And it's all about preparing your hearts. It's all about preparing your hearts. Guys, I remember in the midst of my addiction and married and young children and me out there doing what I was doing, I didn't want to live that way. I didn't want to be coming home at night, sneaking into bed, and are you awake? And not hear anything. And then moments later, hear her sobbing in her sleep because not in her sleep, but I had done it again. I didn't want to live that way. And I used to tell her often, man, I cry out to God, Vicky, but I don't understand why he won't help me. I don't understand why this God that's so good and so great, why won't he help me? And I used to have this vision, this mental picture of God being this big cop in the sky ready to slap me upside the head because I messed up again. And my desire was to stay away from God. I didn't want to be near God. But see, the interesting thing is I knew all about God. I knew all about the Bible. Man, I was put on a bus as a kid in the children's ministry to go to church. I remember all those stories in the Bible. I remember David and Goliath, and I remember Noah and the ark, and I remember Moses parting the Red Sea and Daniel in the lion's den. I knew all those stories. I even knew that Jesus was born in a barn. I knew all that stuff. I had all kinds of stuff up here. And I remember November 5th, 1989, I was sitting in our church, about the third row back, and there was this old preacher having a revival, and his name was Dr. J. Harold Smith. And at the time, he was like 83 years old. Of course, I was much younger then, and 83 was like, that's old. And this old man was bringing the word of God. And he had us do something that morning at the end of the service. He had us take this little mental elevator ride in our minds. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to go into the elevator and we're going to go down to your heart and we're going to open the doors and we're going to see one of three things. And physically, he had us close our eyes and do this. And I remember doing this just as plain as I see your pretty face in front of me right now. It was a very real thing. And I went down and I opened up that elevator and I expected to see one of three things. And the first thing he said was that you're going to open the elevator and you're going to see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne because he's the Lord of your life and you're living for him. And I was like, well, that ain't going to happen. I said, well. And then he said, well, the second thing that you may see is you're going to go down and you open up the elevators and you're going to see Christ, but he's pushed back in a corner because you've accepted him as your Savior, but you're not living. He's not the Lord of your life. And the third thing you're going to see is you're going to open that elevator and it's going to be dark. That morning, that's what I saw. Listen, I spent 6 years in the United States Marine Corps. I've been in combat. I've been in some scary situations in my life, but I was never more terrified than I was that morning, because I've been sitting in churches thinking that I had a relationship with Christ all along. It was all here. I didn't have it here. Folks, you got to prepare your heart. You got to make sure your heart's ready. And when it's a heart thing, it's an easy thing. Jesus was asked in Matthew chapter 22, I believe it is, by the Pharisees, what's the most important thing? Out of all the rules, all the Mosaic laws, 613, whatever it is, out of all these laws, Jesus, if I can only do one thing, what's the number one thing? He says this, love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, mind, soul. See, he says heart first. The heart's got to be right first. And then he says, that's the greatest commandment. But the second is like it. The second is just as important as. The second is equal to. Love your neighbor as yourself. Guys, you got to have the heart right. Prepare the heart. And once you got the heart right, the last thing is you got to be available. You've got to be available. Then Jesus directed them to sit down and have all the people sit down in the groups of grain and grass that he did. And then taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. You got to be available. I love the fact that we're rounding up folks to serve next week. And if you've got the time and the availability, we'll need your help next week. It's going to be awesome. But you got to be available. There's a, when we first came down to Leland to plant the church, 4th of July, it was 6 years that we moved down here. September will be our 6th anniversary. And we came down with, 6 adults ready to go. And that was it. We had 6 adults and 4 children with us. And the 4 children both came from single moms of the 6 adults. So we were ready, man. We were organized. We were great. We had me. I was going to be the pastor. I knew that much. All right, my wife, she's going to be everything to me. So, she's admin. She's everything to me. So she had a spot. And then there was Robin, who was actually, I was the children's pastor in the church that I left in Northern Virginia. And she was my assistant. And there I am surrounding myself with wise, organized women. And so Robin came down, was going to be the children's director. And then there was Sheila. And Sheila came down, she was the director of the wee ones, the little toddlers, the little guys. And that was awesome. And then we had Joe. Remember Joe? Joe was my hippie from Mississippi. He would be the worship leader. All right, he was the barefoot guy. He was always barefooted. And people were like, why is he always barefooted when he's leading worship? And I'll just tell you, that's his holy ground. That's why he's always barefooted when he's leading worship. So we had those guys, and then there was one left over, and that was my younger brother. He was 45 years old, and just prior to that, like months prior to that, I called him in San Diego, and I said, Daniel, you need to come home. Our parents, my mom is dying, and Daniel is a crackhead, like living on the streets like crackhead. And he said, I ain't got no money, man. So Vicky and I got him a ticket and flew him home. Long story short, October 12th, 2009, Daniel gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he's not touched a drug or alcohol since. And Daniel comes to me, he says, man, I want to be part of this church plant. Because he didn't go back to San Diego, he stayed living with us. And so he's like, I want to be part of this church plant, but what am I going to do? I mean, he was a brand new baby in Christ. And I want to just share with you the amazing miracle that God did in his life. Listen, I have been working with drug addicts and alcoholics for years now. And my brother, he's my physical brother, my biological brother, little brother, he should have had a medical detox. I'm telling you. And Jesus took it right out of him. And he's like, what can I do? I don't have anything, but I want to, man. And I said, Daniel, the biggest ability that God is looking for is availability. And he come down here, man, fell in love with the Lord and just, I mean, crazy stuff I could share with you. But here's my point, guys. It's availability. Are you available? Are you available? You need to recognize the need. You need to take your inventory. You need to get organized. Measure that need. Prepare your heart and be available. Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Let me ask you something. I want you to think about this question. Do you expect God Almighty to use you? Do you expect God Almighty to use you? There's a story about this guy's coming to church, and he comes late, and he comes sliding in the back door, and he asks the usher, he says, hey, is the service over? And the usher says to him, well, the message is done, but the service just begins. The message is done, but the service just begins. And that's what I want you to think about, guys, as you leave here today. The message is done. The service begins when you leave here. The service begins when you leave here. I want you to, seriously, I want you to ponder that question. Do you expect God to use you? If you'll just bow your heads for a second. I want you to seriously ponder that question. Do you really expect God to use you? I mean, the God of the universe, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, do you expect Him to use you? Why not? Why not? He can and He will, but your heart's got to be right. And let me just ask you, to think about one situation, one time frame, one moment in time in your personal life. If anybody can remember it, you can. Do you specifically remember the time in your life when you said yes to Jesus Christ? When you said, Lord, you're going to be the Lord of my life. Father, come save me from my sins. However, whatever prayer you prayed, and when you recognize that Christ did on the cross and you accepted it, can you remember that time? Hallelujah. Praise God. Can you not? What if you're sitting here and you can't? Can I tell you that to this very moment, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can say yes to Jesus Christ. While everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you today, if that's you sitting here and saying, yes, today is the day I want to surrender to Jesus, can I just ask you to, everybody else is not looking, but just you. Would you look up at me? We got eye contact. You and I are communicating, and you're saying, yes, today is the day that I want to give it to Jesus. For the rest of us, do you expect God to use you? Do you? Father God, as we finish out with this last song, and prepare our hearts to go and to serve. As we leave, because the message is over, God, I pray that you would, God, would you use us? I pray, God, that you would bless this message, that we would take the words and be more than just hearers, but we would be doers, and we would go expecting you. God, expecting you to use us. Jesus. 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 Use us, Father. In your holy name I pray. Amen.